The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, November the 1st. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with Danny Lasoski about his sudden unemployment status, and we'll chat with Robbie Farr, one of the legends in Australian sprint car racing. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Shula Steakhouse of Miami Lakes, Florida, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
Yes, Dolph fans, football season is here, but Shula's, the name synonymous with perfection, can be enjoyed year-round. Whether it's a round of golf on our championship golf course, dinner at the original Shula Steakhouse, having visiting guests, or yourself, enjoy their stay at the legendary Don Shula Hotel with adjoining athletic club and spa. The perfect choice any time of year is Shula's. For more information, 305-821-1150 or visit donshulahotel.com.
Hi, this is David Gravel. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. A lot of news coming out of Charlotte just 48 hours after the World of Outlaws wraps up their season. We find two well-known, highly respected, and Hall of Fame drivers without rides, one being Joey Saldana and one being my guest who joins us now, the dude, Danny Lasoski. Danny, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome back, and but we were hoping to be under some better circumstances for you this time around.
Well, thank you very much for having us on, and it's just as a big a shock. I woke up Monday morning with a phone call from Luke Lunt, which is the manager of Big Game Motorsports, and told me that basically no longer needed my services, so it wasn't too good a morning.
Like you said, a complete shock. Was there any indication, any inkling, any time over the last, say, month or two, that this was going to happen?
No, it was, to me, it was a total shock. Yeah, I was, you know, in racing, we all know this can happen at any time, and you're only as good as your last race, and we definitely didn't have a very good showing at Charlotte, but I didn't really expect, you know, we won four championships in 2 years, but I wasn't expecting this. I knew that there was other good drivers out there looking and calling, which they all do. It's a very cutthroat business. You have other drivers trying to go behind your back and get your ride, which that's a part of the business. We all understand that. But in big time auto racing, this does happen, and we're going to move on and hopefully that there's someone out there that really wants to put a team together and maybe we can go forward with this thing.
As you mentioned, Danny, two Knoxville titles, two National Sprint League titles, 19 wins in the 2 years you guys are together. I think the most incredible stat was that in 108 A mains, you finished inside the top 10. You have top 10s 86 times, which is a staggering 79.6%. That's like taking Aramis Chapman out in two outs in the bottom of the ninth, going, well, we're going to bring somebody else in, even though you're throwing 105 miles an hour. We're bringing somebody else in.
You know, it's just a good team. You know, we had a good team. I'm very proud of our team, and by no means do I wish them any ill. But I was shocked. Needless to say, not very happy about it. But again, I'm a big boy, and I understand this business. And hopefully, good things will happen in the future. You know, I consider the glass half full. Everything's meant to happen for a reason, and we'll just keep going on. Because I can tell you right now, I have more burn and more desire than I've ever had right now.
That's interesting to say, and you're only 57, which is still very young when you think about it, but that desire is something that you've always talked about whenever we've had that on the show. Where does that come from, Danny, in your family?
From day one. That's been instilled in me from my father. You know, he's still today, he's up there in you know, 70 plus, and he still has the burn desire to win, just as he's in my race car shop every day working. And I'm so glad he instilled that in me, and he actually put that same gene in my nephew, Brian Brown. He has the same burn as well. So, you know, when I got the phone call, I immediately started reaching out, and definitely you know, people are aware that we're looking. So hopefully something will come out of the woodwork and we'll be back on the racetrack again next year.
I am curious, you and Guy Forbrook always have seemed to work well together. What was it about the two of you guys that was instant chemistry whenever you guys hooked up?
It's just we both were from the era that we had to work on our own cars and understand them, and we both can do everything, you know, drive race cars, work on them, and I think that helped once we got going. And again, there was nothing ill between Guy. Surprisingly, we raced together 2 years and never had one ill word for each other. So, this happens in racing, and we'll just carry on and see what happens from here.
You mentioned before, Danny, that we're in a little bit of a different era now where guys are going behind your back, and not just you, but just about everybody, calling, talking about rides, offering the monies that they may have, the sponsorships that they may have. Can you go back and look and see as to when that started to happen in the sport? And is it something that, was it a changing of the guard, changing the mentality? How did that come about, knowing what you and Sammy and Steve had always been doing as professionals?
Well, when I was brought up in the sport, it was a gentleman's agreement. You don't ever call another man's sponsor or another man's car owner or nothing like that. It was a driver's gentleman's agreement, and it was no rule, no anything. The only salvation you got in this sport is own your own team and build it from there, and he's built a pretty good team about it.
What's been the reaction from the people that you have called today to let them know I'm a free agent basically at this particular time?
If you're going to put something together, you need to know in July, because most people's money's all allocated out by October. So we hope something will come along, and, you know, we'll stay positive. I'm very confident that we can get the job done. Just hopefully someone will give us an opportunity to show that.
Do you have a preference? Do you want to stay in the Midwest? Would you be looking to travel? What's your mindset right now?
That's the really good thing about me. I have a helmet bag and a seat, and we'll travel.
So we could see you end up in Central Pennsylvania, possibly.
Yeah, I'll race anywhere, absolutely.
Always love the spirit of this guy, Danny Lasoski, joining us. Danny, let's talk real quickly about the fact that Knoxville, Badlands, and Jackson is going to work together for 2017. How big is that for the sport, for those three tracks in that area to have agreed to work together?
I don't know all the details that went on, but I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, the Midwest is starving for 410 racing, and with the birth of the NSL, I thought that was the next best thing, and that folded up. So, again, I think it's a good thing for 410 racing in the Midwest, and we'll just see how it pans out.
So you have that drive and the desire to keep on going, 111 wins at Knoxville. Will you be able at some point to know when the time is right to hang it up, even though you have that burning desire to keep on going and going?
Yeah, I've had that. A few people's asked me that question, and the only way that I can answer that, if the utmost honesty, is as we speak right now, every morning that I wake up, I think of new ways maybe that we can go faster, be better, make myself better, more alert, faster, to win, because there's no feeling like winning. And the day that I wake up in the morning and I think I'd rather mow my yard or wash my car or something, I'm done. I'm out. I'm not going to have a farewell tour. I'm going to go somewhere neutral, and I'm going to thank all the fans for all the support for so many years, because I truly love this sport. But I'm not going to just drive around. That's I'm the wrong guy for that.
And is there anything that you like to do in the near future? Are there places that you have not been to yet, or races that you have not won that you'd like to take a shot at and win before that day does come?
Well, that's a very good question, because it was brought to my attention not too long ago that of the accomplishments. See, as a race car driver, I really, really didn't keep track, and I got a really good friend of mine who keeps track, and he's told me that in the sprint car world, there's only two major events that we haven't won, and one is the King's Royal, which I've run second in, and one is the Williams Grove Open that I've run second in. Every other big race we've won, and that is an accomplishment that I'll cherish forever, but I wasn't aware there was only two that we haven't won. So probably those two would be on my bucket list to try to accomplish.
And winning at the Grove is just as important as winning at Knoxville, because those are the two probably biggest tracks in the country for weekly 410 sprint car racing. And I'm sure you wouldn't mind coming back east and running with the guys here at the Grove and picking up that prestigious win sometime.
They're tough back there, and it's very, very competitive. We were fortunate we won an outlaw race at the Williams Grove, but never won the Williams Grove Open. So, yes, we'd love to come try to fulfill that dream.
So as we speak right now, Danny, how much longer do you think it might be before you are able to make an announcement? And do you have a certain cutoff as to what time within, say, a week or two or three that you want to be able to say, this is who I'm driving for and this is what my schedule is for 2017?
I would love to be able to tell you that tomorrow, but as you will know in this sport, sometimes it takes a while. I'm going to keep digging and keep making phone calls and see what happens in the very near. I would hope I can make some announcement before the end of the week would be fabulous, but we never know how this works out.
That's for sure. And you didn't expect to get a 9 a.m. wake up call and go, sorry, but we're moving in a different direction either, did you?
No, I wish all the luck to him. There's no ill feelings here. I understand this business wholeheartedly. I'm very disappointed, and they would be alive to say, well, I'm not very disappointed. I understand, and we'll go on.
Danny's always appreciate your candidness, appreciate the passion that you have for our sport, and appreciate the time that you took out this evening to join us here on the Sprint Car Show.
Thank you very much for having us.
The dude, Danny Lasoski, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. When we come back, we're going to go down under and talk with one of the greats in Australian sprint car racing, Robbie Farr. That and more next as we continue on with the Sprint Car Show here on the Dirt Track Channel.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Logan Schuhart. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the Dirt Track Channel. Good to have you with us. As we said, there is no off-season for the Sprint Car Show. We basically are chasing that endless summer, and we're going to do that right now as we go down to Queensland, Australia, and talk with probably the hottest sprint car driver right now in Australia, fresh off his win Saturday night in round three of the Ultimate Sprint Cars. We welcome in multi-time track champion, and guys won just about every single event in Australia except for the classic, Robbie Farr. Robbie, great to talk with you. Welcome to the Sprint Car Show.
Yeah, Sean, thanks for having me on the show.
Robbie, the season, I went back a little bit on your Facebook page, and you had a picture of you in the car, and it said back in black. Talk a little bit about getting back into that colors, and talk about the psyche coming into the 2016-2017 season for you and the team.
Yeah, look, I think last season's really built towards this season. I felt that we improved. We had a pretty good season last year, but we improved. Our hottest form was more towards the end of the season, and we really felt that we worked out our program a bit better. I think this year just generally a continuation of that. We put a lot of work in through the winter, but we didn't change our program. We didn't flip it on its head. We've just continued on the direction that we were heading, and I think that's why we've come out of the gates pretty good with the start of the season.
Well, you picked up wins over in Sydney at Parramatta Speedway right there. You picked up wins at High Tech Oil Speedway and also over at Archfield. It has to feel pretty good to get those early season wins. What's the feeling of the team right now in the early part of this 2016-2017 season in Australia for you and the team?
I think we're rolling off the trailer good, which is a big part of your night. As most people know, that if you can roll off the trailer good, you adjust on the car through the night in small increments instead of
if you come off the trailer bad, you're really throwing darts at a dartboard then. And we're pretty close. Our program's pretty tight at the moment, and we're not doing a lot of guessing. I think that's what's helping our program and our confidence.
And of course, this season a difficult season for a lot of people down in Australia. The passing of Shane Crickey just a few weeks ago after a tremendous and probably the most inspirational battle against cancer I've ever seen. You were good friends with Shane. I wonder if you recall the first time that you ever met Shane, and if you do, did you sense something then that this guy had a larger-than-life presence about him, as we have been reading about throughout all the chronicles, not only of his life prior to the second time he's been battling cancer, but all throughout the times that he was going to try and defeat cancer for a second time?
Yeah, look, we really become close late 90s over in Perth racing. He just had Donny Schatz come out and run that car. He just sort of found out he had lymphoma cancer and had put it in remission for the first time. We spent a lot of time together then, and then I started racing for him in the early 2000s, and just been so close to the family over that time. But you know, when the second bout come back, he was determined to beat it, and I think in some respects it affected the people around him more than him. He was the positive guy that was holding everyone up around him that was falling apart with the news. And it takes a pretty special person to be the person going through that, but you're the you're the shoulder to lean on for a lot of his family and stuff and friends. So, look, amazing person. That just shows the competitive nature that he had with Speedway, with life. He didn't like to lose, and that's as simple as that. He didn't like to lose, and he wasn't going to let cancer beat him. Sad news was, obviously in the end it did catch up with him, but it wasn't true. It wasn't through a lack of fighting.
That's definitely for sure, as we had read on the pages, as wife has shared with everybody over the past months that he battled the cancer. He had such a passion for sprint cars and for Speedway, but people in general. You as a driver and your fellow drivers, how do you guys strip away the sponsorships and the different sanctioning bodies you're going to be running for this year and moving forward, and embody that passion that Shane had and use it to help shape the future of sprint car racing as sprint car racing continues to evolve throughout all of Australia and Tasmania?
I think we lost him. We lost him in our winter. I think it'll be a huge hole in the sport when we start getting to some of these big races. And, the KMS cars there and Brooke and Ryan and Jody and Julie and Peter and all the family that, and then Shane's just going to be that person missing that you're so used to seeing at the racetrack, and I think that's where it's really going to hit home for a lot of people. But as far as your massive contribution to the sport in Australia, and there's a lot of people, our sport's going really good over here at the moment. There's a lot of good, smart businessmen around the sport, and Shane was one of the first. The direction's good here, and we'll carry on with some of the work that he's done over the years.
And you yourself are sort of getting into that business side of the sport. You announced that you're having a development team this year with Brandon Rawlings as the driver out of Queensland. You also are having a driving school a la Jimmy Sills. And, of course, you have that two-seater that comes out. Talk about how you are evolving as a driver, but also evolving into the business side of the sport. And do you think you're going to see other people trying to evolve and work on these development teams in the years to come?
I look at other motorsports and think there are areas that we're a bit backwards in. And one is that, new people to the sport, no one tends to help them. No one gives them any direction. Everyone tells them what they should and shouldn't do, but it's such a muddled up, confusing. Everyone's information is different. We end up losing people out of the sport because there's no way to nurture them and give them a fair shot at learning. What we do is quite unique. The cars are quite unique to any other form of motorsport. So it's just a way of bridging that gap and help car numbers in this country, let people try before they buy through the drive school. And then also there's an avenue there. You can align yourself with a top professional sprint car team and as a young kid, and you know, they've got the right shop package, they've got a good equipment under them, and they've got good experienced people around them to help fast track the learning steep learning curve that speedway or sprint cars can be.
We're talking with Robbie Farr, one of the greats in the realms of sprint car racing throughout all of Australia. And like many, Robbie started out in go-karts and went from go-karts and started racing sprint cars at age 16, now in his 28th season of running sprint cars. As you look back, Robbie, and you see these younger kids like Brandon Rawlings that are coming up, how much different are they from when you guys were in your teenage years and making that jump initially? What's the biggest difference you see between where you guys are at back then and where the kids are at today?
I think Australian Speedway is no different than, you know, Speedway in the US. You know, back, you know, 25, 30 years ago, it was very much hobby / semi-professional sport. You had to build your own race cars, you had to crew chief your own race cars, you had to wash your own race cars, you had to straighten them, you had to be the jack of all trades back then, which I think is a good thing. Now for a lot of new kids coming into the sport, it's at that professional level with the big haulers and, paid crew chiefs and paid crew that, I think sometimes they miss a step there, and that's learning about their equipment. So we also try to teach that a lot. Get drivers involved in the equipment. I'm not a big believer in having drivers just be a steering wheel attendant. I think you need to know what the car's about, how they work, and have input into that.
As I had mentioned before on the show a couple of years ago, I had the great privilege of jumping into a two-seater non-wing sprint car with legendary Jack Hewitt on the Indiana Mile Speedway, which was basically, it's almost like a Silver Crown car. And Jack gets in it, and he stands on it, and you do go for a wild ride. And he gives you, the sensation as to what it's like when you get behind the wheel of a sprint car. When you take people out for your two-seater, are you the same way? You step on it and make sure that they know and feel and get an appreciation for what you guys and gals do week in and week out?
I'm sure it's nothing like jumping in on a mile track with Jack Hewitt. He's a badass. And yes, you do. You try and give him a ride. I mean, we're proud of our sport, and, it's what we do every weekend. So, yeah, you want to, I guess the first time is you want to show them what it's all about, and I get a buzz or a kick out of seeing them get out of the car and with a bunch of adrenaline, and if you can make them Speedway fans or future racers, it's pretty cool.
And speaking of future racers, at your driving school, what's the mentality of teaching people, these are not your average, ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill race cars. These are some the baddest, things on the planet. How do you approach the philosophy for the school, and how do you make sure people understand that if they're coming there, they're there to learn how to drive? It's not just sort of a show and tell type deal.
No, I have no interest in the joyride type of thing. That's what the two seater's for. But as far as putting someone in control of a 410 sprint car for a joyride, that's not what that's about. The drive school is really about, kids coming up through, your Formula 500s and some of the non-wing divisions and stuff that we have, and letting them try what a 410 sprint car is about. But we also have a aspect where someone can bring the whole race team to it, and we'll go through their shock package, through the whole car, and it's a whole day thing. We spend half a day on their car and their program and giving them a good baseline, and then we spend the other sort of 4 hours on the racetrack, with witches hats and stuff, and just working on lines and building their car speed through the day. It's especially in Australia, there's not a lot of tracks you can actually test on or do some laps by yourself. So we're privileged enough with Barry Waldron to have access to the track at Toowoomba, High Tech Speedway, so we can just let people learn how to drive a sprint car without 20 of them around them and people trying to crash into them. So it's just a different environment. Lets them think about what they're doing in the race car and not worrying about what's around them so much.
And what's been the reaction to the people who have come to the school so far? Is it something that they found that has been beneficial to their racing career?
Yeah, a lot of people, everyone's been really happy with it. It's had really good feedback. A lot of referrals now happening. And it's funny, when you just race yourself, you just go to racetrack and and do your thing and hang around your trailer and that. It's really been a very big networking, and a lot of people that have been in the sport for a few years, but I've never really met them. And it's actually been enjoyable to meet these people through the school in a non-competitive environment. So yeah, it's been great. Everyone's enjoyed it and got something out of it. And, you know, I get a kick out of seeing them go faster at the end of the day than did at the start. And, you know, I think there's something in it for everyone.
So Robbie, if people want to get more information about the school, or if they want to find out how they can get a two-seater ride with you there at Valvoline Raceway, how can they get in touch with you about those programs?
Yeah, look, through the two-seater program, that's through Sydney Speedway. You just contact the office there and book your ride. And also with the drive school side of things, it's at robbiefarr.com.au. All the information and the packages are on there. So, yeah, it's we have dates available. Not only a few this side of Christmas, but definitely towards the end of the season, which will be March, April, will really take a lot more bookings in when the racing starts to settle down again a little.
So as you guys start to progress more now towards the start of all the other different seasons that you guys have in terms of the different sanctioning bodies that you'll be running for, and of course, the as you were telling me before we came on the air, the Classic is that one race that you have not won yet, but I'm sure you'd like to win in the near future. What's the goals going forward for the team for the remainder of the season, and how much do you want to look at putting your time and effort into trying to finally pick up the win at the Classic there in Warrnambool?
Look, every year you kind of get asked what your goals are for the season. My goals are always the same, just win as many races as you can. You don't always get to pick which races you win. But yeah, look, every weekend, go try and win the motor race. That's the way I've always been, and continue to do that. We're off down to Murray Bridge this weekend on Saturday night, and we've got Mildura on Sunday. I think James McFadden's coming out for the first time this year. We've got, Jamie Veal, got a heap of good cars this weekend. Looking forward to that, and that's our main focus right now is this weekend. But look, the Classic, we can't prepare any more than we do in the past. We've really come close over the last couple of years. We've been on the podium and stuff, and running second and running out of fuel and just bits and pieces like that. I don't really put too much pressure on that. It's just something I'd like to win, obviously, because I haven't. But all you can do is go do your best and prepare the best you can, which we do every year. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But with 120 odd cars there, it's a fantastic showcase. Fantastic. If anyone from the US comes out, it's a great time to come out through that January period, and there's a lot of Americans here, and it's just a good fun time of year. It's probably like your month of money in America, through August there with the Nationals and Eldora and stuff. So it's just, it's the middle of our summer, good racing, good competition. If the classic comes our way, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
And speaking of the US, it's been a while since you've been over here racing in the States. Any plans to come back over in the near future and get back to doing some racing here in the States?
I'd like to. Just commitments here are hard to get away. As you get a little bit older, you've got family and mortgages and work and stuff. So when you're younger, you can just, all you need is an airplane ticket and you take off. But there is definitely, I wouldn't say any hard plans in the near future, but I definitely want to come back, have a crack at it again over there. Maybe for a 4 or 5 week period would be all I could do. But it's not, I haven't crossed it off the list of something I won't do again.
Well, hopefully if you do get a chance to come back to the States, you have Central Pennsylvania on your list of places to come race at, with Williams Grove, Port Royal, Lincoln, Susquehanna, and Stillings Grove Speedway. You got a lot of places to choose from here in the central part of the state. So hopefully one of these days we'll see you over here.
Look, I'd love to, and I've never done any racing in Pennsylvania, and look, it's completely different to we're all quarter mile racetracks here, and I'd love to go do something as different as that. But in saying that, I know exactly how tough Pennsylvania would be, and steep learning curve, I'm sure. You guys are so good around there, and everyone, even this side of the world, we know how bad how tough the PA posse is.
Well, Robbie, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. We thank you for your time, taking it out of your workday, and look forward to having you back on the show in the near future. And again, continue to do the best of luck and success to the team, the driving school as well, as you continue on with the 2016-2017 season throughout Australia.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Great to be on the show. Appreciate it.
Robbie Farr joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more right after this.
Yes, Dolphins football season is here, but Shula's, the name synonymous with perfection, can be enjoyed year-round. Whether it's a round of golf on our championship golf course, dinner at the original Shula Steakhouse, having visiting guests or yourself, enjoy their stay at the legendary Don Shula Hotel with adjoining athletic club and spa. The perfect choice any time of year is Shula's. For more information, 305-821-1150 or visit donshulahotel.com.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show. We'd like to take a moment and thank our guests, Dan Lasoski and Robbie Farr, for joining us on today's broadcast. Let's take a look at some of the news in the world of sprint car racing. Of course, as we mentioned earlier in our conversation with Danny Lasoski, Joey Saldana is also out of a ride and looking for one at the moment. So we'll follow up with that and see if we have any news for you on next week's show. Coming up this weekend here in central Pennsylvania, it's the last 410 and 358 sprint car race of the year that gets underway 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon at the Susquehanna Speedway Park. $5,000 to win for the 410 sprint cars. On Friday and Saturday, the United Racing Club is in action at Bridgeport Speedway in New Jersey. They're going to be honoring one of the true gentlemen in our sport, the late Midge Miller. Midge, for many years, a midget and sprint car driver. He died a few years ago, unfortunately, following complications from surgery. And this is called the Big Track Classic, Friday and Saturday, URC at Bridgeport. Nice to see the folks at URC honoring such a true gentleman in our sport. The King of the West wraps up their season for the 410 Sprint Cars. It's the 33rd tribute to the late Gary Patterson at the Stockton Dirt Track. Kyle Hurst, who is the 2013 and 2014 King of the West champion, he's looking for his third championship and first ever win at the Stockton Dirt Track. He leads Bud Kading, who has been runner-up in the King of the West the last 2 years in a row, by 28 markers heading into this event. And the American Sprint Car Series has four races left, starting with this weekend. They will be in Oklahoma for the Fall Fling. Sam Haferty Jr. Is the points leader. And coming up Tuesday through Saturday, it's the 29th annual Short Track Nationals at the I-30 Speedway in Little Rock, Arkansas. Should be a good event there for the 360 sprint cars. We'll have all that results coming up for you, plus more interviews on next Tuesday's broadcast here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Our broadcast today has been brought to you by Shula Steakhouse of Miami Lakes, Florida, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum located outside of Turn 2 at Knoxville Raceway, and Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.